Good Saturday afternoon, everyone out there. Silence. Yeah, if you're, yeah, I'm by myself today. My co-host is taking the week off, so I'm here. You got me. We got each other. It's going to be a good day. So, but thanks for tuning in. My name is Roger Metz. Taylor Metz, my daughter, is usually here with me, but, like I said, she's off this week. I don't know how that works. I'm not off, but she can take off. But it'll all work out, I guess. I hope you're having a great weekend. It is July the 11th, and you know, we're about a little over a week into Tom Mullican's South Carolina 7 trek across South Carolina. We're going to be catching up with Tom and Mary Rowe from Palmetto Conservation Foundation. I caught up with them earlier this week at their event at RJ Rockers, and we recorded an interview and caught up with, you know, what Tom's been doing on the trail, how the trail is doing these days for Mary, and it's good. You know, I was fitting. He's doing 500 miles over 30 days. He's covering 16 miles a day on average, and I was looking at some of these like today and tomorrow. He's on the Ennery Passage, which is 36 miles through the Sumter National Forest. I looked at another. I want to do one with him, but I looked at him and I was like, goodness gracious, the least one is like 16 miles. I don't know that I could do 16 miles right now, much less July. We'll see. I'm going to try. I'm going to give it a shot. I've got to try just for me. But anyway, that is, and you can catch up with him. They're doing some, what they're calling, fireside chats. And this week, let's see, 11th, 14th is Monday. They're doing one on childhood fitness, from the Palmetto Trail headquarters. That would be day 14. So what would day 14 be? 7/14. That is going to be Tuesday night. Let's pull up my calendar here and just see. Yeah, Tuesday night. So Tuesday night on Facebook, the South Carolina 7 Facebook page. They'll be doing a fireside chat live. They're doing another one on outdoor therapy for PTSD on the 15th. And let's see if they're doing any others. 18th. Nope, no other ones this coming week. So it's cool. But they're going to be at Belle Island to do. We actually stopped in there, had to go to Charleston Monday, and took the long way, a bunch of back roads, and saw some cool things on the back roads. We went down to Francis Marion's grave, which is down at Belle Island. That's one of the stops here at the end of this next week. So that's an update on South Carolina 7. We're going to catch up with them at the bottom of the hour into the third segment of the show. No, that's the next segment we're doing with them. Yeah. So anyway, I guess when we're done with this one, you get the update. Just a few things. There are a few things going on, not many. More and more people are just saying we're not doing anything this year. In fact, ICAST is this coming week, and there's a lot of mourning going on in the fishing community about not being able to go to ICAST this year and see all the new stuff. I did notice that a lot of people, Shimano has released a lot of things online already, some new spinning rods, some new rods from G. Loomis. That's some of the stuff I've got. I've gotten stuff from Pure Fishing and from just loads of people rolling out a virtual ICAST. So that's going to be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We'll see how that goes. Virtual anything is just not the same as being there, of course. But we'll see. See how it goes. It'll be interesting from a media standpoint on how things come across. We've got another Zoom meeting this week on something else that's going to be virtual, but I'll cover that in the next week or so. So, having said that, there are a few things going on out there. Calendar events is always brought to you by Visit Anderson Green Pond Landing and Event Center. South Carolina Archery Association, do you need a tune-up for the state championships? Head over to Kiwi July the 18th and 19th for their Western North Carolina shoot. Once you've mastered shooting up and down hills in the upstate, roll on down to Myrtle Beach for the SCAA 3D State Championships on July 25th. So there are some things going on. That's South Carolina Archery Association. If you want to get involved in competitive archery, there you go. Ooh, speaking of archery, gosh, you know, we're just a month out from the Lowcountry opener and 2 months in the upstate, and I haven't even begun to shoot my bow again. Oh, well, it's just to be last minute, just like it was last year. Catfish Tournament, Watery State Park, July the 18th. That's in Winnsboro, South Carolina. Sign-in time's 9 p.m., launch time 10. Lines out at 6, weigh-in at 7 a.m. So it's an all-nighter. Must be a club member to fish. It's a $15 membership fee. Three fish weigh-in, $100 entry fee, 25 big fish entry fee, 85% payback. This is Mid-Carolina Catfish Club. So there you go. Another something you might want to get into. And if you haven't had enough of hiking already, a new 2.2-mile trail loop trail is nearing completion at Paris Mountain State Park. Open to hikers and mountain bikers, the trail is part of the 160-acre addition purchased by the Friends of Paris Mountain State Park in July of 2015. It's been a long time in the making, says Stephen Gray, past president of the nonprofit Friends Group. The forested parcel, which hugged the park's southwest boundary, had been used as a family retreat for generations before it went on the market. Gray and others saw the land containing open fields, deep forests, and several streams as an opportunity to add some breathing room to the park, which overflows on weekends. Through a two-year fundraising campaign, the group raised about $300,000 to purchase the property. The remaining $700,000 was provided by the South Carolina Conservation Bank. The trail itself is of moderate skill level and goes under the tree canopy. You're going to cross three or four creeks, some rhododendron. It's very pretty. Friends of Paris Mountain State Park and Upstate Sorba, a volunteer group dedicated to improving and providing new mountain bike trails in the region, are planning a grand opening for the trail. He said he'd like to see it open to the public as soon as possible. So stay tuned. We'll have details on that when they're available. Oopsie. Just knocked that over. There is news. In fact, a lot of this is going to be news. A lot of things we need to get through, which is always a it's always a problem when you've got guests and people that want to talk, which is good. A boater has died on Lake Murray. Y'all be careful out there. There is so much that can go wrong this time of the year. Monday, July 6th at approximately 3 p.m., the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources responded to a drowning call off Willow Cove Road in Lexington County. Two men were in a 14-foot John boat when they hit the wake of another vessel and began taking on water. The boat sunk and both men went into the water. One boater became fatigued and drowned. The other man was rescued by another boater in the area. Shortly after, they found the second boater and attempted life-saving actions but were unsuccessful. You know, I often say on this show that a life jacket doesn't do you any good if it's in a compartment somewhere, and this is proof of it. You know, it may not be cool. You know, your friends may laugh at you when you put it on, but in our boat, life jacket goes on when you sit down and turn a big motor on. Now, I don't know if this would have saved them, but, you know, I don't know if they're running, just sitting still. But it's always a consideration, and it's always something to keep in mind, safety on the water. You know, like having a second lookout if you're out there skiing. You know, have somebody while you're watching where the boat's going, have somebody just kind of scanning to make sure there's nobody cutting across or you miss somebody. Somebody made a sudden turn, which happens. Happened to me the other day. So you hate to see stories like that. Just like you hate to see tree stand accidents during hunting season. So, y'all be safe out there, because we want you around for many years to come and enjoy the outdoors for as long as you got it coming. So, anyway, that is the first segment. We'll be back. When we come back, we'll hear the conversation I have with Tom and Mary, and that's on the other side of the break. Hang on. Welcome back to another segment of Woods and Water, South Carolina. Man,
I told you he'd be back, and for some reason or other, he answered the phone, and so did Mary Rowe. So we're joined by the executive director of the Palmetto Conservation Foundation, Mary Rowe. Mary, welcome back to the show. And we're also joined by Tom Mulliken, who is, for in this capacity, the trekker on Carolina, South Carolina 7. How's that?
Sounds great.
Mary, I want to get you to go first. During all this shutdown and all, has the trail been busier than normal?
Oh, I can't even tell you how busy it has been, and what a pleasure. I have to tell you, we have had so much usage on the trail, and we are so proud that we did not close down. We came out of the gate offering all the good social distancing and the way in which to use the trail and enjoy the trail. But what's most remarkable is how many new users, families, people that are calling our office saying didn't even know the Palmetto Trail existed, and then calling back and saying, wow, this is awesome. So, the whole staff and our trail coordinators have been very, very busy, and we're so pleased.
Well, Tom, what do you think about the trail so far? You've been on it for about a week now.
Oh,
what do you think?
The trail's incredible. It's just been incredible. Mary and her staff have created a real gem for us here in South Carolina, but really a national treasure. We're going through some of the most beautiful places on earth, and what she and her team have done is just indescribable. The trails are beautiful. They're well kept. You can start, you can go a little ways and go back. It's really a trail for everyone. No matter what degree of experience you've had, the Palmetto Trail is the place to go, and it's absolutely remarkable.
Mary, is there any other place, any other state or that could carry a trek like Tom's on a state hiking trail?
Well, you know, we could talk about some of the ATs or some of the, you know, West Coast trails, things of that nature. But they're different. They take months, depending on your ability to walk. This is, and Tom is doing it. He's doing it in 30 days, and it's very achievable. And so I'm going to say no. We're very unique. South Carolina has this cross-state trail system, and Tom's going to be able to speak to it when he's finished. He's going to be, you know, speaking to what he's seeing in terms of the fauna and the vegetation and the trails and the people and the towns that he's, you know, the smaller little towns that depend on this trail for ecotourism. I don't think there's anything like it, and South Carolina is, you know, we're so fortunate, and I think Tom every day he looks at us and says, "This is awesome."
It really is,
Tom. You've been on the trail for a little over a week now. So far, I mean, you've been up in the mountains and all that. So far, the heat really probably hasn't been as bad as it will be when you get to the lower part of the state, but you've done a little whitewater rafting. You had some rain, so you got a little cooled off there.
That liquid sunshine was perfect. Gave us a day, but the heat will be fine. The trails are really, the way they have cut these trails, it's got great cover underneath the trees for the most part. Creates a real wind tunnel for a cool breeze. It's clearly they've laid this trail out in a way that's very user friendly, and I would say Mary went across the country. I'd go around the world. There just really isn't anywhere in the world that you could go and go from some of the most beautiful mountainscapes in the world to some of the most beautiful places along the coast. We really, what they've done is put together something very special.
Mary, when we called in, they were introducing the Lieutenant Governor. We're doing this ahead of schedule for Saturday, and y'all are having an event at RJ Rockers, and you said the Lieutenant Governor was there.
Well, she has arrived, and she has participated. She has hiked. She is Tom can speak more directly to the support from the Governor and the Lieutenant Governor, and actually what Tom's message of awareness, he's just not hiking. He's doing so much more for bringing awareness to what happens on floodwaters. Mm-hmm. We are absolutely a part of the seeing the problems when, you know, we've lost three bridges
Six
months.
Yep.
And then the other is as Tom said today, he's doing some virtual messaging, and that is, if you can't get on the trail, go out, walk around your house,
sure.
about wellness. So yes, this, and Tom will speak to it, but he's not only bringing awareness to the communities and the people that he's speaking to at these fireside chats, but certainly the governor and the lieutenant governor are passionate about what Tom is doing.
Tom, after a week in the mountains and foothills and all, if you had to pick a favorite section that you've been on so far, where would you go? What would you tell everybody?
South Carolina.
Oh, come on now. That is a non-answer.
let me peel it apart a little bit. The view from top of Sassafras is absolutely incredible.
Isn't it something?
You just can't describe that.
Yep.
I've heard three states. I've heard four states if you can see really good. But it's just beautiful, and the trip up there is incredible. The Chattooga really is a marvelous place that is exciting and challenging. The bull sleuth that we went through, they say it's a class 4+ or class 5. We had a wonderful time on that. Cocasse Gorge is an international destination. So today our hike here closer to Spartanburg in the foothills is equally beautiful, and we'll spend a couple more days here. Between our organized hikes in the morning and early afternoon and our hikes later, we'll cross the 100-mile mark before we leave this area and head south. So it's incredible. What I could tell you is this,
all right,
having been raised here, is that anywhere within 50 to 100 miles, you've got something extraordinary.
Yeah.
The best defense to health problems, including this coronavirus, is a solid health system. So get out, please. Those of you who are listening, just get out and walk around the block. If you can't do a whole block, do a house. Turn around and walk back. And once you get yourself to the point you feel comfortable, get out on this beautiful trail.
Absolutely.
It's remarkable.
Absolutely. Mary, he's done the mountains and all the foothills like we've talked about, and he's entering kind of we're not close to the coastal plain yet. What would you call this?
No,
the upstate foothills type sections?
He's going to do Ennery, and we slowly change what he's going to see. That Ennery is a wonderful partner with the National Forest.
Right.
You know, we went through DNR property partnerships. He was on the Foothills Trail. That's another partnership. South Carolina Parks is another partnership. So it's showcasing the partnerships that make all the trails happen in South Carolina. So, I mean, we're just thrilled. Everybody is, you know, we're just following Tom right now. And here's the gauntlet.
He
says he's going to do it every year.
That's what
he
said.
Does, next year, I think Tom's, I'm looking at him, is he going to be on the trail with us? I think you, sir, need to be on the trail with us for at least one hike, okay?
You and Taylor both.
Absolutely. I'm planning to do that this year. That one hike will be this year. I'm dealing with the loggers and some other stuff, but yeah, I plan on being there for one hike this year. Definitely next year, several hikes. Tom, your fireside chat tonight, in about a minute or two, tell us what that's going to be about.
We're going to talk a little bit about the Floodwater Commission. Of course, we'll talk about the Palmetto Trail, and we continue to try to, what I say, intellectual data points. We're building an informed constituency. We're trying to help people understand what's going on around them and how they can be a part of a very positive resiliency strategy for our great state.
Mary, you mentioned earlier you lost three bridges in the floods. What are kind of the status of those bridges right now?
We're raising money for the replacement, and we're looking at different bridge strategies. I think the breakaway bridges are pretty much not going to be the direction we go in.
Okay.
Because we just recognize that we're going to have, you know, these rains that come down, and you can get 6, you know, inches, and the level of the water just rises. And the bridges did what they're supposed to do, but we just have to acknowledge that we have some real floodwater issues. So we're out aggressively looking to replace them. It's a 2021 campaign.
Okay.
When we're done, I think we're going to replace them with some great bridges that actually sort of blend better with nature. So I'll keep you posted.
Absolutely.
That is what we're doing. We're working hard for it, and it's It is going to be private and private funding. It'll be grant funding, and we are determined to have those bridges back by the end of 2021.
Cool. Good to know. Tom, I know you're going to get down there day 14, the day before you turn 60, I believe, is it not?
Yes, sir, as much as I hate to admit it. This white beard, I'm really not Santa Claus.
you're going to be on the Peak to Prosperity Trail, and that features an 1,100-foot bridge.
I can't wait. Can't wait to be back out there. It's a beautiful area. And let me say this while before yes. we sign off. Mary is a superstar. If you're listening and you have a few extra coins, you need to think about sending some of that along to the Palmetto Trail and all they do, because it really is it's a remarkable treasure for our great state, and what she's put together cannot be overstated. But yeah, we'll be down there, Peak to Prosperity, and then I think the next day we're at Fort Jackson.
That's right.
I can't imagine a better place to spend my 60th birthday than a place that I've put in a few miles on the backside of.
I hear you. I was going to tell you, we had to make a trip to Charleston Monday, and we had most of the day to get down there, so we just kind of backpedaled through the country and all, and actually ended up, I took Taylor likes the Patriot right now, so I took her to the Swamp Fox's gravesite there at Belle Isle, and just a really cool little place to be.
It really is. It's remarkable.
Well, I like I said, this is
and Tom, you're gonna ride horses on that trail, just like Francis Mary.
That's
did,
right.
Correct?
We are. I'm
with
the
real tacky marsh.
Tacky marsh.
Marsh tackies. Marsh tackies.
Yes, marsh tackies.
The
yes.
state horse. Yeah. That's right. Well, look, I really appreciate both of you taking time to be on the show with me. This is our first update. We got about three more to go. Tom, I will be there when I can. Just hang in there with me. Iron Man doesn't say enough about you. I've got to come up with a better name for you for this thing. Mary, thank you for taking your time to be on the show with me, too. And
that's always a pleasure.
Both of you enjoy the evening, and we will be back in touch very soon. Folks, hang on. We'll be back with more Woods and Water South Carolina on the other side of the break.
Thank you, my friend.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you, Roger. Bye.
Yeah. I miss you too, but I'll be home real soon.
Misty sunrise in my hometown.
Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Hope you enjoyed that update from the South Carolina 7. Tom Mulligan's trek across South Carolina. Hope you'll go to their Facebook page, keep up with them. Their website carries their full itinerary and a little bit more about them. And I got to come up with a good nickname for Tom. I got to. At least, you know, he turns 60 on the 15th. 16th. 15th, I think. What day are they at? I kidded him about it there. But I think it's on the 16th. It'll be at Fort Jackson when he does it. So it is on the 15th, Fort Jackson Passage, when he turns 60. Got to come up with a name for him. Got to come up with in less than 3 or 4 days now, I got to come up with a name for him. News from the South Carolina Department of Revenue. South Carolina Department of Revenue. Oh, gosh. The South Carolina Department of Natural Resources. I deal with too many state agencies. As of Monday, July the 6th, South Carolina DNR offices will resume in-person transactions at all licensing and boat titling offices statewide in accordance with Phase 2 of the South Carolina Department Administration's State Reentry Plan. Offices will resume their normal work schedule Monday through Friday between 8:30 and 5, and will be assisting customers on a first-come, first-served basis. Let's see. To ensure staff meet all customer needs, please arrive at the office before 4 o'clock. This will allow staff adequate time to process transactions within normal business hours. It says in here, if you have already mailed in your boat titling and registration paperwork, please do not come into the office for processing. Staff will not be available to locate and process mail paperwork from the window. Which is, let's see, June. So we went to Michigan and got Taylor's boat on May the something another, first week in May. And I mailed that stuff to them. And it was delivered. I got confirmation it was delivered June the 3rd. And it is July the 9th, which is 5 weeks into it. We were up on Lake Bowen fishing the other day, and the lake warden came driving by, and he was looking for something. He asked me, he said, have you seen a disabled pontoon boat? And I said, a jet ski just towed a pontoon boat over to that dock over there. And he said, oh, that must have been it. And he asked me, he said, do you have your stickers from Lake Bowen? I said, yeah, they're in the box right here. I said, I'm waiting on my registration from the state of South Carolina. He goes, oh, okay. And I asked him, I said, have you heard anything about anything? He said, they're about 10 weeks behind. So they're 10 weeks. I still got another 5 weeks to go to get my registration. So, but hey, it's what happens when you're just working skeleton crew, you know, and they're still taking all the phone calls. When I did call them to ask them a question about boat registration, you could tell. It was just one phone call after another. That can't be good. All right. More news. Deer lottery applications are now available. The application deadline is August the 15th, 5 o'clock. The South Carolina Department of Natural Resources is now accepting applications for deer lottery hunts on public lands through 5 p.m. on August 15th. The unrestricted multi-site lottery application from last year remains and will cover hunting opportunities on Bear Island, Donnelly, and Bonifari WMAs with no antler restrictions at these sites. The other multi-state lottery application includes Belfast WMA, Botany Bay, Hamilton Ridge, Palachicola, Watery River Heritage Preserve, and Webb. Antler restrictions apply to these multi-site locations. It does have a note. The 2020 traditional Webb Center deer lottery hunt with guns has been canceled for this year, because of the interaction between staff and hunters and all. Webb WMA has been added to the restricted multi-site hunts for this year only. Let's see what it says here, going to the second page. Webb archery hunts are still available, and previous applicants with Webb Center deer preference points for the gun hunts will retain all of their current points total for next year when they resume the traditional Webb hunts. The multi-site and unrestricted multi-site lotteries operate independently and maintain separate preference points. More information, go to www.dnr.sc.gov/hunting/drawhunts. For more information, and I'll stick that in the pile to come back around to, so we can get those and look at that a little closer later on. Okay, if you haven't heard, I'm sure you probably have heard, the Bassmaster Elite Series tournament scheduled for Cayuga Lake, July 14th through 17th, has been canceled. Bass officials announced they'll cancel the Bassmaster Elite Cayuga Lake scheduled and plan to reschedule the tournament for another fishery later this season. As you recall, last week the state of New York released guidelines for professional sports competitions, which include diagnostic testing and protocols for daily health screenings for all athletes and staff, along with a host of other safety and social distancing measures. Under these guidelines, no fans or spectators are allowed to attend events, even those held at outdoor venues. It goes on through all this. Essentially, it came down to a testing thing that just wasn't adequate. They wouldn't be able to provide adequate testing for everybody. They were going to have no marshals, no fans, no spectators, no families, just the anglers. They've got two other tournaments scheduled for up there in New York. They've got one, I can't remember what the other two. The St. Lawrence River, July 23rd to the 26th, and the Champlain stop at the end of July. They both Bass and local hosts believe the required testing can be arranged so that the remaining two elite events can happen. So we'll see that one. But here's the rub. And think about this, because this is something that they're going to have to work out. Okay, say one of the elite guys tests positive. He can't fish. They won't let him fish. So they send him back home. He misses out on points,
money? What happens? Does he get a medical exemption, a medical waiver for that tournament? Or you have some guy who can't fish a tournament who's a good smallmouth fisherman, and you could really, I mean, it could really ruin his year. So that's something that we're in uncharted waters here with some of this stuff. Flipping over to BPT, anglers likely to pay entry fees in 21. Bass Pro Tour anglers might be fishing for greater prize purses in 2021 they've had available this year, but a big chunk of that money will likely have to come from their own bank accounts, as industry budget cuts related to COVID-19 pandemic may bring at least a temporary halt to the tour's no entry fee status. That's one of the proposals that emerged from an angler meeting Tuesday afternoon in Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin. Yeah, they're up there fishing Lake Michigan this weekend. The layout of the 2021 campaign was also presented: 6 regular season BPT tournaments, 4 Major League Fishing Cups, and 2 championships, the Red Crest, which will include the top 40 point earners from this year, and the Big Fish-based Heavy Hitters, which will take the 40 with the highest cumulative weight of their single largest catch from each 2020 tournament. The MLF World Championship would be eliminated in such a scenario. Each angler would be guaranteed, this is kind of odd, each angler would be guaranteed participation in 2 of the 21 cups, regardless of their standings on the points list, and each would also be out 2, meaning an angler could compete in a maximum of 10 out of the 12 events. All would be insured, receiving $26,000 back from the entry fee, total of $40,000 in the end of the campaign if the angler never collects a single tournament paycheck. An MLF communications official noted that with the entry fees, the total prize purse for the season will be $7.6 million compared to $5.9 million for this year. Of that amount, $3.2 million would be derived from the entry fees. So here's a curveball. Yeah, you know, the no entry fee was voted on by the anglers prior to the 19th season. So this is a change, and I expect there's some more changes coming. Rumors abound, and I'm not gonna spread them, but I can tell you there are a lot of rumors out there, and when they're a little more than rumors, we'll talk about them. How's that? That work? All right. Got some more news. Got some things. Might have a guest caller here. Let me see what I can work on. See, y'all, we're right here to break. Let's go into this break. Slippery when wet. Talking about waterfalls, stay on marked trails and observation areas. Observe all posted signs leading to waterfalls. Do not jump off waterfalls or dive into pools. Watch your children and pets at all times. Slippery when wet. Visit Oconee County. Just want you to be safe if you visit their waterfalls. Let's take a break. When we come back on the other side, I may have a guest for the last segment of the day. We'll see what happens. Y'all hang on, enjoy the music, and we'll be right back.
I miss you too, but I'll be home real soon.
And welcome back to the last segment of Woods and Water South Carolina for this week. And caught up with, you know, he's probably been on this show more than anybody else has been. But gosh, Anthony, things have just been so busy the last year. Have you been on the show in the last year? I mean, it seems like forever.
No, it feels like I'm a stranger. Yeah, I don't think we've not done anything this year. It's supposed to be the first time. Yeah, so we barely got one in before the season ended.
That's exactly right. Yeah, you're
we did it though. Yeah, we did it.
you're up there at stage five now on Lake Erie or I guess you're
Michigan,
Lake Michigan. That's right. I got that wrong twice today.
They're both big. That's all that matters.
I guess so. In fact, Andy Montgomery posted a little video, and it was just it was on the bow of his boat. It was just going up and down, up and down, up and down.
Yeah, that's a fact.
That's a fact. You're up there. I mean, how's practice been without giving anything away?
Yeah, I mean, it's been yesterday was good. The first day was good. Today, not so much. I fished a different area today, and the thing with this place up here is that when the wind blows, and it did blow a little bit yesterday and today, the places that you want to fish are separated by 8 to 10 miles of main lake in a lot of cases. And it's just, it's so hard to move around. And if you're fishing an area and you don't like it and you want to move, today I just had to load the boat. Like I would have to trailer the boat, drive to another protected area of the lake and fish there and then do the same thing after that. So, yes, it was hard. And today it was a day where if you hit a couple bad places or places that aren't that good, then it takes up, you know, the majority of your day. And I think that's kind of what just happened to me today. Yesterday I lit down on a decent area and caught some fish. Today, not near as good and didn't catch near as much. So, I mean, it's kind of luck of the draw when it comes to something like that and on a lake that I don't know anything about. So, I had no preconceived notions of where they should be or where they were going to be. And it was just a matter of just had to go figure it out for myself and fish around and hopefully I'd come across some, which, you know, the first day I came across some fish. So hopefully that might be enough to salvage the tournament and give me a chance to make it through that first round.
You know, talking about first rounds, you've made all four top 40 cuts this year.
Yeah, but then, but what? I know what you're thinking, but I haven't made the top 10. I haven't been able to get out of that next round.
I wouldn't go say anything.
I know exactly what. Trust me, I already knew. It's already been on my mind. But yeah, I mean, it's been a good year.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, from a finish standpoint, you know, anytime you can make that first cut and you make it into that knockout round, like you have to consider that a successful tournament. But at the same time, you want to keep going. You want to make that next round.
Oh yeah.
And give yourself a shot to win the tournament. And I've just not been able to put it together on that third day this year. But, like I said, it's been a good year and it just hasn't worked out for me on that third day. And, it was close a couple times. I think that the last one at Toho, I lost some big fish. I lost three big fish at Toho.
Really?
I don't think it would have quite put me in, but it would have got me really close, but it could have changed the complexion of the day. And maybe I'd have had a shot if I'd landed and I wouldn't have sat and pouted for so long, maybe on the front deck. But, but it has been a good year. That's been a fun year.
Yeah.
It's been a crazy year.
Oh gosh. Yes.
But,
yeah.
Yeah.
28th at Eufaula, starting the year off, a 17th at O, starting to figure out the grass fish.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I could ever say that I figured out grass fish. I did catch my chick in the grass, too, though.
So yeah.
Maybe there's something to that. Maybe I have finally figured out the grass fish. But
Lake.
The grass fish, I think you just got to go do it. You got to fish the grass, and you'll eventually find them. And I'm not very patient when it comes to fishing grass sometimes, so I leave it and look for something else. I think my problem is with the grass lakes.
Lake Fork 36, that was your worst finish of the year, 25th at Heavy Hitters. And, you're sitting right now 20th in points overall, which is pretty good spot with one event left.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, everybody, all of us kind of like to run numbers and crunch numbers. And I know you do.
I don't like it. I have to do it to make a living, but I don't necessarily like it.
But I think that I'm in, if I catch just a couple fish, I think that I'm probably in red crest. So that's a good spot to be in going into the last one when you don't feel a ton of pressure.
Yeah.
You know, you it's not like, because sometimes you go into that last tournament, and you pretty much know I need a 40th place or I need a top 20 or I need a top 10 to make it.
Yeah.
And so you can go into that last event with a ton of pressure like that. So it's nice every once in a while to have a year when you kind of can cruise in that last one. And, and know you're probably going to make it regardless. I think that's where I am, but I still want to catch them. Though. I still want to catch some. I don't want to sit there and be waiting to see how the chips fall. I want to make sure I make it.
Which, you know, I just had flashbacks to 2014. Yeah. When you said that about cruising, I'm thinking, you know, totally different than 2014. 2014, it was last tournament, you know, last minute, making it to the cup and everything. I mean, that was just
it's not fun.
Yeah.
It's a really good feeling when you accomplish it, given that situation, but it's not fun leading up to it and the pressure. It can be really overwhelming, but I mean, after the fact, I mean, it feels better, you know, to make it in that situation than it would in this situation where you feel like, you know, you're probably going to make it versus you're scratching and you're calling and you're fighting. And then when you do make it, you feel really rewarded. But it's not real fun
having
to sit there and wait and do that. So I like it this way better. I prefer it to be this way.
You know, with things so messed up with tournaments getting canceled and all that stuff, MLF short in the five this year, you're fishing the fifth one.
Right.
But a few weeks ago, you went kind of back home and fished the FLW Super Tournament. Talk a little bit about that one.
Yeah, I did. I signed up to fish three FLW Super Tournaments I wanted to fish more events. I knew we weren't going to be able to get all of them in over here on the Bass Pro Tour, and you know, we had an opportunity to fish those, and I just figured from a chance to win some money, it also provided me with a platform to, you know, promote sponsors, you know, that may have thought that I was going to be able to fish more events than we were going to get to. So I felt like I wanted to do it, and I needed to do it, you know, for various reasons, but it was fun. It was really cool to see a lot of people that I used to fish against. You know, I grew up and started my whole career fishing FLW for almost 20 years, or if not 20 years. And, it was nice to go back and see some familiar faces, you know, from the staff and other fishermen and things like that. So, it was a lot of fun, and ended up, I made a check there.
Yeah.
So that was all good.
40th.
Yeah. Had a good tournament there too. So it's just been one of those years when, you know, I've not had a great tournament yet, but I've just had, it's just, they've all been solid for me. Yeah. You know, I'll take that. And if that's the case from now until the day that I can't fish anymore or the day I retire, then I wouldn't complain very much. Just fishing such a humbling sport, and I've been on both ends of it. So, you know, anytime you can have a year where you're making checks and that is, I'm not ever going to complain. You want to win and all that good stuff, but it's hard to consistently make checks in this sport.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to appreciate them when they come.
But somebody said the fishing is the losingest sport you'll ever play.
that's a smart man that said that.
Can't remember who said that, but somebody did. I watched it a little bit on the FLW live or whatever they had going on. tell us about the live well incident. Listen to this, folks. This is hilarious.
It's
because
kind of embarrassing. It's a little bit embarrassing, rather. It was the first day, and you know, and just a little bit of backstory here. You know, I've been fishing Major League for, I mean, a year and three quarters now.
Right.
So everybody knows we catch our fish and weigh them and release them right away. So I've not been accustomed to putting fish in the live well. Anyway, long story short, I was fishing long. It was about lunchtime, I guess, on day one. And I heard something it felt like it was underneath me, or it was sounded like it was under the boat. And I just thought maybe I had come across a stump or a stick or something. And about 10 minutes later, I heard it again. And I turned around and I asked my official, you know, my observer in there. I said, "What is that noise?" And he kind of looked at me and gave me his weird look. He said, "That's your fish in the live well." And I started laughing. I was like, "Well, I guess that is what they sound like." It'd just been so long since I'd heard that. I didn't know what it was. I really did. I thought I was running over something with the whole boat. It was a little bit embarrassing, but it was funny after the fact.
I wouldn't call it embarrassing, but you know, really, you haven't had that for, you know, almost 2 years now, and to have to do it again, you kind of lose that, you know, that relationship again.
Yeah. I mean, there's a, you get into a, yeah, I mean, it doesn't take long. You know, that's one thing I've learned from doing this. it doesn't take long to kind of get into a groove and learn a new routine, I guess. And that's what it is. I mean, it was really different catching a fish and handling him in the boat and putting a, you know, a cull clip on his lip or mm-hmm. and just having not done that for a year and a half. It was a little bit different than when you get in there and you have to start culling. It was just, and it comes back, obviously, but
sure.
It's a different deal. It's a completely different deal. And like I said, it was kind of cool though, getting back, you know, kind of getting back to my roots and fishing a tournament like that. But I really do like the catch wave release. I think that that's the future of the sport. And yeah. I mean, for obvious reasons, I mean, for the health of the fish and the fisheries and all that good stuff. But hey, it was fun though. I did enjoy putting them in the live well, getting to take them up on the stage like old times and all that good stuff.
Well, just remember, this week you're putting them back in the water, not the live
well. yeah, that's right. Yeah, I don't need to get any. I don't need any confusing moments this week for sure.
Well, I tell you, we're almost out of time. It's amazing how fast it goes when we talk like this. But you're fishing, of course, you fish Friday, you're fishing Sunday,
right.
And hopefully fishing Monday, and maybe you'll make one of those top tens and be able to fish Tuesday.
Yeah, this will be my last chance. I better do it in this one. We'll see. Yeah, we'll see. I don't quite feel like I found the fish to do that, but there's been a lot of times when I've said that before, and I've caught them a lot better than I did in practice. So we're gonna hope that this is one of those times.
Very good. Well, folks, tune in to Major League Fishing. Watch them online. Anthony, thanks for taking a few minutes of your time. We'll catch up with you again soon, folks.
Right.
Yes, sir. We'll talk to you soon, man. And as always, folks, make time to get out there, take the backwoods when you can. Don't forget the camera. Back next week. More Woods and Water, South Carolina.